This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, featuring T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could join us. This week we continue with our discussion of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Along with his co-host Greg Durrell, here's T.A. McMahon.
Greg, thanks for joining me.
Always good to be here, Tom.
We are going through Paul's epistle to the Romans, and currently we're in Romans chapter 10, and I think we left off with verse 5, but I always like to backtrack a little just to kind of sneak up on the verse we're on, Greg. How about that?
That sounds good.
Okay, let's pick up with Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Does that sound familiar to you, Greg?
Well, surely it does. There's all sorts of people we know, even myself at once upon a time.
Myself as well.
You and probably a lot of other people, that we had a zeal for God. We would call ourselves Christians if asked, and we would say, yes, we believe in God. And if someone would say, well, do you love God? My answer would have been, yeah, and do you want to please him? And I would have said, surely. So a lot of people have a zeal for God, but, you know, the end of that verse says, but not according to knowledge. And, you know, I spent 28 years of my life there having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And it's where many people find themselves today.
Right. Now, this according to knowledge, you mean your head wasn't filled with all kinds of facts about God, all kinds of beliefs about God? Why don't you explain that to us?
Well, I had a whole head full of knowledge about God, but knowledge here, Paul's talking about full knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the clear understanding of the person of God, God's revelation of himself to man in the person of Jesus Christ, and what God has done. You know, we tell people all the time, if you believe in God, you believe there's a creator, do we owe him a hearing? In other words, has he said something that's pertinent to you and I? Has he given us perhaps a list of rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, or whatever? Or has he revealed himself to us? And if so, we owe him a hearing. And surely he's done that in the person of Christ. And then, as John says, we have a written record so we can know these things. And so the issue for the Jew in verse 1 clearly says he's talking about Israel. Israel was very zealous about things of God. You know, they put the emphasis on the law,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have full knowledge because they simply missed the reality of Christ, the reality of the Messiah, and as a result, they became ignorant and began, as we'll see in the next couple of verses, trying to work their way to heaven.
Right. And in Proverbs, a number of times, I'm not sure what the verses are, I think it's chapter 14, and then again in chapter 16 of Proverbs, it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but that way is the way of death. In other words, we're either going to understand God from his perspective, what he says, his way, or men are going to come in and muddy the waters, as it were, come up with their own ideas, which seems to be spiritual, but it's not God's way.
Sure. We know a lot of people say little knowledge is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have someone has a little knowledge about something and they think they've mastered it, and they can do more harm than good. And I think that's the point here. People have a zeal for God, but not according to full knowledge.
Right.
They have some knowledge, but it's enough to really make them dangerous and cause their own destruction. And as you quoted in Proverbs, for many people, yeah, they think they're on the right path, but that path leads in death.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord wants us to have a heart for truth, a heart for his way. And that's our encouragement in this program. The name of the program is According to God's Word. If it's not according to God's Word, then it's according to men's ideas, things mm-hmm. that men make up, and that's going to lead us astray. So picking up with verse 3, this is chapter 10 of Romans, verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, this is, again, as Greg said, and verse 1 says, this has to do with Israel, but it has to do with us. We can fall into this very easily, and as Greg said, 28 years for him, 30 years, I was a Roman Catholic with ideas and thoughts that came out of men's concepts, men's beliefs, not according to God's Word.
Well, clearly, Tom, and especially for Israel here, where he says, for being ignorant, for example, and to help a lot of people. Some people equate ignorance with stupidity, and the Bible never means that. When he's talking about ignorant here, the word means to not understand something.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of not understanding or out of ignorance, Israel stumbled over Christ, in essence. And then so he says they're ignorant of what? They're ignorant of God's righteousness. That's the theme of Romans. We saw that in chapter 1, that it's not about you and I doing good things so that God will say, now we're qualified to enter into heaven. It's not about trying to pay for our own sins, as we were taught that we had to do in Roman Catholicism, but it's recognizing and clearly understanding something. And what we need to clearly recognize here and understand, that it's God's righteousness that we should be seeking. Now, if we're ignorant of that truth, then we fall into the trap, as Jew did, going about to establish their own righteousness. That's where most people are today. That's where we were in, as Roman Catholics, trying to do what? Establish our own righteousness, whether it's through repetitious prayer or through sacramental ritual or whatever it may be, human good of some sort, or, you know, helping people, some humanitarian project or whatever. People think God will look at that. You know, they think God will look down and say, gee, now you're a good person. Okay, you've made it. And Paul is saying it's just the opposite. That mindset is gross ignorance and misunderstanding of God's plan, and that mindset leads to death, as you pointed out from Proverbs.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, as a Roman Catholic, I might have said, well, it was grace. I did all these works by grace and did all these things to establish. Yes, it's my own righteousness. I needed to be righteousness, but it came by the grace of God. My righteousness, the scripture says, is as filthy rags before God. The righteousness that I need that will secure eternal life for me, I can never accomplish that. I mean, I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and I will always be one beholden to Christ for what he did, what he accomplished, and what only he could accomplish. So verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So there we have the key. I can't do it. Go ahead.
But before you jump to Romans 4, I'm going to key on one word in the end of Romans 3, that last phrase. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Christ. That word submitted is key, because I've said for years that you could take all the problems in mankind, you could take all the problems in the variety of religious persuasions, and you could reduce them all down to one word. And that word would be authority. What is authoritative? The issue here is the refusal of people to do what? To submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Not unto the righteousness of the church, not unto their own righteousness, but the righteousness of the cross. And a refusal to do that, to recognize that when Jesus cried, it is finished, that in fact it is, and that the promises are made over and over that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, etc. We find that those phrases are throughout the New Testament. Acts 16:30, what must I do, present tense, do and do and do to be saved? The response, believe.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because the righteousness of God, as Romans says, has been revealed to us. We have that. That's a free gift that the Father wants to impute to all who put faith in the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance of that truth in any flavor brings death. And in verse 4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, not believeth and does good things, or believeth and is baptized, or believeth and joins the Church of Rome. So verse 3, we have people who are doing. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. Verse 4, we have the finished product. It's done. We're not to be doing anything, but we're to embrace the reality of the finished product, the righteousness of God, to be found by faith in Christ. It is so simple that a child can grasp it. But unfortunately, through religious effort, as the Jew did, as we did as Roman Catholics, as so many other people do, the religious efforts of man, a human achievement, self-esteem, ego, whatever it may be called, it causes us to be blinded to that truth. We don't understand it, and we stumble over it.
Mm-hmm. And, Greg, when you say it is so simple, if People say, yeah, well, it's too simple. No, if that's what you think, you're missing it here, because God has to make it simple. That's why everyone can accept this free gift. If it was so complex or so complicated, or we had to do this or that, that would eliminate, you know, many people from coming to Christ, because they wouldn't have the capacity. But God makes it so simple, so straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be by faith. That's how we acquire God's righteousness. We can't do it on our own. It has to be a gift. He has to give it to us. And it's only by faith that we can receive it.
Well, you know, and you're right. And people just miss, when I say simple, you know, words mean things. You look at these two verses here, and as I said, the word submitted, mm-hmm. in verse 3. You have to submit yourself to the righteousness of God. Well, what does that mean? And then verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But yet you and I both know there are people who want to embrace all sorts of aspects of the law. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked for years about holy days of obligation, and all these kind of things are mortal versus venial sin. And the fact that Rome teaches you must, everyone must pay for their own sins in purgatory, even the sins that Jesus paid for on the cross. Well, Rome says repeatedly what? It's submission to Roman Catholicism, not submission to the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says it's ended, it's finished. Christ is the end of works, but Rome says he's the beginning.
Right.
So what we have is the exact opposite in Roman Catholicism from New Testament truth.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's so simple that people say, well, gee, it can't be that easy. It must be religious effort. Mm-hmm. It must be human achievement. People won't spend the time and study the Word of God.
Yet they fall back onto a system, Greg, as you know, the Code of Canon Law for the Roman Catholic Church. 1,752 rules and regulations. Many of them have to do with you better live up to them or your eternal life is going to be spent in hell. So this is a very legalistic system that not only contradicts but rejects just what we're talking about here, what Christ has done and how you must acquire it through faith and faith alone.
Well, you know, there's no question. And I want to issue a challenge to our listeners. Everyone agrees, every theologian, probably living and dead, would agree that Romans is the most theologically complete book of the Bible. If you read the 16 chapters of Romans, it covers every facet of justification, sanctification, etc. I would challenge all our listeners to read Romans 1 through Romans 16 before the next broadcast, and then see if they can glean from this various facets of their religious denominational practices. If they can find water baptism saves, if they can find mass, communion, the papacy, sacrificing, mediating priest, they can find where it says it's necessary to physically eat flesh and drink blood in order to be saved. Go through this epistle and see if you can find those things. And then when you can, go back again after you've emptied your mind of your presuppositions and opinions and just read it for what it says and then see if you can find it within yourself to believe it and submit to it, and I think people will see a vast change mm-hmm. in their lives.
And that's what we want. Again, the title of the program is According to God's Word. We don't want it to be the word of Greg Durrell or the word of T.A. McMahon. We want it to be God's Word. We're just pointing you in that direction. That's all we want to do. Let's get to the verse we were supposed to start with. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 10. For Moses describeth righteousness, which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, that's a challenge, but it's an impossibility, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's more than a challenge. It's a complete impossibility, and which proves what? In Galatians, obviously, we've been through that, and mm-hmm. our listeners probably can get the studies from you, but Galatians says what? That you can't do it. It is impossible, and that was the reason the law was given, to point to Christ, that only God could do this. And so it's by his grace plus nothing that we're saved.
Right. It's really a reflection of Leviticus 18:5. It says, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And, of course, Christ has done it all for us, something that we cannot do. Even if you said today, I'm going to keep the law and I'm going to keep it perfectly, you have a problem.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Greg, this listener writes, what do you know about the Vatican issuing a statement to American bishops to refuse communion to those politicians who campaign for abortion rights? Well, it looks like the Vatican is getting a little tough at this end. I've got a CNN article here. It says, just hours before Senator John Kerry was scheduled to discuss his support for legalized abortion at a large women's rights rally Friday in Washington, a top Vatican cardinal called on priests to deny communion to Catholic politicians like Kerry, who will take that stance. What say you to that?
Well, I say that if they do that, you will then see clearly how many, quote-unquote, Roman Catholic politicians don't really believe Roman Catholicism. Because if they truly did, then immediately they would reverse their stance on abortion, because without the reception of the Eucharist, they go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to find them all saying, well, it's separation of church and state and all sorts of things like that, and they're not going to waver. Now, which means what? In essence, they're not Roman Catholic at all. They just, that's what they feel comfortable with, but they don't really believe the church has absolutely any authority at all. Because if, obviously, if you did, you can't go to heaven without the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're denied that, then hell is your destination. Who would knowingly, I tell you what, it'll be another proof that some of these people are insane, according to Rome's theology. Because who would willingly desire and make the decision to go to hell? You'd have to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
So if Kerry does not reverse his decision and on abortion and get in right standing with the church, that would prove then, according to Roman Catholic logic and certainly their religious teachings, that John Kerry is mentally insane and no one should vote for him.
Well, but Greg, he's not the only one. When Pope John Paul II went to Canada, what was it, a year or so ago, for the World Youth, Catholic World Youth Rally, the Canadian press did a survey among Catholics, and they tried to pick out those they considered devout Catholics, devout again meaning that they believed the church or they went to Mass and so on, and they found that 80% of the people that they contact did not agree with the church on conception, on abortion, and so on. Now we've got a problem. If it isn't just John Kerry who is not to receive communion or denied communion because of his beliefs on abortion, what about that 80%?
Well, that's the death blow to their Catholicity, that everybody in Roman Catholicism believes the same thing. It also gives more fuel to the likes of Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel, the militant Roman Catholics, the Tridentine or the pre-Vatican II Roman Catholics that in essence say the American church is subverting the true faith. So I think it's going to be an interesting thing to see what's going to crop up as we get closer and closer to election, see if they're going to hold true to those things, and see if they make any more statements, if they expand it, as you say, to incorporate everybody who's waffling on things. How about just forbid everyone who practices birth control?
Well, it's a teaching of the church.
Absolutely. So these people are in sin then. They're in sin, and they're in ongoing sin.
And
so what does that mean according to the Church of Rome? Well, they're not going to heaven.
And this isn't, again, just a sin of ignorance. When the church establishes, it makes it clear what you are to believe. You are obligated to believe that under the penalty of a mortal sin. And
right.
A mortal sin has to do with somebody who knows what the church teaches and rejects it.
Right.
So it's a problem.
It is. It's going to be interesting to see what Rome does with it, how far they expand this.
Mm-hmm. Greg, I've got another question here. You mentioned Jim Caviezel. This question relates to that. Is it true that following the popularity of the Passion of the Christ, evangelicals are now getting into the Rosary and the Stations of the Cross? Well, many evangelicals have said, well, there isn't much Catholicism in it. It's pretty orthodox, and they didn't see a problem with it. Yet, Greg, I've got another article here. interestingly, it comes from Youth Specialties. That's an organization that youth pastors look to for ways to minister to their, you know, the youth in their churches. And this one has to do with, it's called Meditating on the Events of Jesus' Final Days, which they call it Jesus' Journey to the Cross. And what they're doing is setting up an evangelical methodology of really replicating what the Roman Catholics have done for centuries, and that is the 14 stations of the cross, in which you meditate upon each station. And again, of those 14 stations, only a few of them really relate to what the Scripture lays out as what Christ actually went through. So what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I have to tell our audience at this point, you mentioned that to me off mic a few days ago, and I thought you were kidding me. I really thought you were just, whether the audience knows it or not, sometimes you do like to pull my chain and make me look silly. And so I went and I tracked this thing down, and I could not believe it, that what you're saying is absolutely true. They even have the method of setting up the 13 stations, tell you if you have an elevated balcony or something, or some elevated place in your sanctuary to put one of the stations up there, and so people can go and meditate on these things. And I really couldn't believe it. I just could not believe that evangelical, or I should say, quote, unquote, evangelical Christianity has slipped that far, mm-hmm. that they would begin to embrace rote prayers, canned prayers, vain repetition, all the things that the New Testament clearly prohibits. And so another 5-6 years, is there going to be absolutely no distinction between Roman Catholicism and evangelical Christianity, or evangelicals making a move to embrace the papacy? Is that a possibility? I mean, Billy Graham refers to Pope John Paul II as God's evangelist. I mean, we hear these things, and sometimes we don't give them much credence, but I think we can see in the last year or so, Tom, that a lot of these things that people have been yelling about for years are now coming to the forefront, and it's scary.
And it is scary that there's no discernment. People are accepting them. I followed up this article from Youth Specialties, creating these ideas for youth pastors, with some examples. Here's a church, looks like it's, I can't see where the church is, but anyway, it's an evangelical church, and they put this to practice. They call it, they renamed it Journey to the Cross, and they have their youth going through these different stations, meditating upon what's in front of them. And the youth pastor says, since we are a visual society, we thought using imagery would stir something in people. Our goal is for people to walk away changed. Well, they are being changed. They're moving to Rome, according to this practice.
Well, and Paul clearly says it's the gospel. It's the cross that's the power of God unto salvation. It's not the journey to the cross. It's not some stations of the cross. It's not some vain, repetitious prayer. It's not looking at a bunch of statues and icons and doing some sort of Middle Eastern meditation that brings anyone to salvation. And that's the problem. Is not the gospel any longer? Is not the cross sufficient? Is not the word of God sufficient? Do we need to continue to placate the pagans and embrace things that we know just that are completely unbiblical? It's frightening in some respects. On the other hand, those of us who know the Lord, perhaps the blessed hope is around the corner. So maybe we need to get ready, get saved, and get ready for the Lord's good return.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708, or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 2004, and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.